Weed, grass, ganja, joint, doobie, doo, chronic, ace, lobo, loco, love boat, bud, Buddha, blunt, pot, pet, pin, chiba, chiba, 420, and hashish, or hash for short. It's all marijuana.
This is Marijuana Media.
Come in.
Brought to you by The Hemp Store at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz.
Do it, man.
We got Chris on the line. Kia ora, Chris. How are you?
Kia ora, Sophia. Very well.
Great to have you. Nice to meet you through the phone.
Magic of the airways. Oh, that last song just chilled me right out. Which is very nice, along with the 420, of course.
Of course.
You got to do these things for the cause. No, that's because I'd worked myself up into a bit of a tiz because I've been working all day on normal submission to the Land Transport Drug Driving Amendment Bill 2024, due in tonight by 11:59 p.m.
Big.
If anyone wants to jump on the Parliament website and make their views known. And maybe once I've done kind of talking about it, people might think, I should make my views known. Because, you know, we actually got some really good changes in the bill, the previous or the current kind of one, as it went through. And so you never know. It's before the Transport and Infrastructure Select Committee. And hopefully, if you make some good suggestions, they might actually adopt them. But what it's actually doing, because we already have drug driving on the books, right? Labor already passed that in the lead-up to the cannabis referendum, on the assumption it was going to pass, and therefore we needed this kind of thing. And we agreed, you know, no one wants to have impaired drivers on the road. And if you're a responsible cannabis user, like we advocate, then you don't drive while you're impaired. So, you know, we're into that. When they passed it, though, everything was set to correlate to impairment, and impairment at the level of drink driving at our BAC, and it was all supposed to correlate with that. And instead, they changed it then in the lead up to the election last year to just finding recent use instead of impairment.
Right.
And you can kind of get an idea immediately of where things are going. If the test is just recent use versus impairment, then they're no longer actually focused on road safety. But they still couldn't find a device. It was given over to the police, go find a device. They couldn't find one that would even accurately show recent use. There are ones that will inaccurately show recent use, so therefore you would be, you know, pinging innocent people and letting go, you know, other people. And so anyway, what this does is it changes it so that the Minister of Police can now approve inaccurate devices. Devices that are known to do false positives of people who are not on anything, and devices that are known to do false negatives and let go impaired drivers. And so the screening or the oral, what they call the oral fluid device, which is sort of a spit test on the side of the road, that changes from being an evidential test, i.e. it's all done on the side of the road with a spit test, and instead that becomes a screen. And if you fail the screen, the police officer pulls out a syringe and takes your blood, and then it goes off to the lab. 3 nanograms is a fine. 5 nanograms per mil is a criminal offence.
Right.
Is what they've set. So that's a kind of summary of what it's going to change and where we'll end up if it goes through.
A couple of big changes there.
Yeah. So the key being, these 3 and 5 numbers they've picked, well, they're already in the law under the existing one, and so that's not going to change. But the thing is they're not actually related to impairment. They're pretty close to arbitrary. What this means is that people might get pinged with tiny traces, and that will be enough to convict someone in court, regardless of any evidence of whether you're actually under the influence. Worth noting, only the Greens opposed it out of all the parties in Parliament. So, and if you look to Australia, I'm sort of getting all chill out. if you look to Australia, there's even recent cases of people being convicted and you know, having to fight, you know, appeal in court against false positives for drugs they haven't taken, that sort of thing. So bloody hell. But with exquisite timing, and our submission, I've just actually pretty much finished it, normal submission, and I've really thrown a whole bunch of studies at them because it just really is overwhelming.
As
all the
shows.
Evidence out there of these multiple studies and literature reviews and things just showing whatever fluid you want to test. It might work for other drugs. Very good correlation with alcohol, with drug correlation, you know, with the drug concentration in the blood and impairment. Very good correlation with cannabis. It just isn't there. Just thrown dozens of studies at them showing it. But one that just came out this week, actually, with perfect timing. This is from Norway, published in Forensic Science International. Now, in Norway, their law came into effect 2022. Same time as our one was kind of going through. Everyone who is suspected of being impaired, whether it's drugs or alcohol, you have a blood test, and it's the same as here, I guess, and then an actual doctor performs a clinical test of impairment.
All right.
And that's what we haven't got going on here, this kind of check and balance, I guess. Mm. So over that following year when it went through, about 15,000 people, drugs and alcohol, went through this. Plus about another 4,000 people that had no drugs on them, it turned out, or no drugs in them, but they were pinged as being impaired anyway, but it turned out they had no drugs.
Interesting.
And what they found, as I was saying before, high correlation between drug concentration impairments, ethanol and benzodiazepines, actually, but very low for THC and amphetamines.
Right.
Yeah, which are kind of the ones that they're going on about a lot, right? Mm. That's kind of, you know, stone drivers and meth drivers is what they're kind of going on about in terms of the justification. And yet, these are the two that this sort of testing is just not going to pick up, whether you're impaired or not impaired. And in fact, when the doctors grouped people into, no, you're not impaired at all, or you're mildly, moderately, or considerably, actually, 51% of the THC-positive drivers were not impaired, so just slightly over half. Only 10% looked obviously impaired to the doctor. Those who were assessed as being considerably impaired actually had lower THC levels than the moderately impaired group.
Right.
So that just shows you how poor the correlation is with testing. And in fact, drivers who tested at 3 nanograms, whatever, like what our one is, the 3 nanograms, you could be in any of those. You could be not impaired, mildly, moderate, or considerably, according to the doctor. So the number just has no bearing. The other thing, when you look at it, is the no-drug group, and this will be really interesting to people that don't consume cannabis or other drugs.
Mm.
You know, there's quite a few of them sent to, you know, having tested and that. But what you actually found out, well, what they found out was that 34% of them, they were actually measured as impaired by the doctor, and the doctor thought that could have been a hangover, illness, exhaustion, emotional mood, sleep, you know, whatever.
Mm.
So, but the drug testing won't pick those people up, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
They were kind of just happened to be assessed by the doctor.
Right.
The other 66% or whatever, they weren't impaired at all. And, you know, so, yeah, anyway, very illuminating. But it's just, as I say, just one in just dozens of these studies that are showing it. And the other interesting thing that happened, well, certainly to me this week, is I got dropped off down at the shop an expert witness testimony from someone who had just been prosecuted for trace amounts of cannabinoids in their system. And this expert witness testimony is actually from Leo Shepp. And some people might remember him. He used to be director of the National Poison Center, and actually at the time was quite vocally against cannabis law reform and anything like that, was my recollection. Now that he's not doing that, he appears as an expert for the defense or the prosecution. And this was him appearing, as I say, on behalf of the defense to argue that actually these trace amounts this person had in their system are not indicative of impairment and could even be secondhand smoke. And that person won, and won that case. They were found not guilty. One of the studies that Leo Shepp presents in his testimony shows that at a reading of up to 5 nanograms, and 3 gets you a fine and 5 gets you a criminal prosecution under this law here, but blood serum THC concentrations of up to 5 actually had a lower odds ratio than people who have had nothing at all. And that was 0.7 compared to 1 being the kind of baseline. So those drivers who have just had the kind of, you know, if you're testing up to 5 nanograms, less risk of crashing and actually safer compared to people who have had nothing. So, yeah, there you go. Incredible.
Lots going on. Yeah. So you've got your submission that you're handing in tonight, and this is the last night to hand them in, I hear.
Yes, exactly. Parliament website's got a little form where you can just let your thoughts be known. You can be as detailed or as short as you want. And, yeah, it's open until 11:59. It's pretty obvious when you go to the Parliament website, make a submission and look up Transport and Infrastructure Committee or Drug Driving Bill, something like that. But the other thing, of course, is it's not just all these blood tests that are a bit shonky, but the actual saliva thing itself. From what we're hearing from Australia, where it's been going on a while, it really is, what they're looking for in the saliva is basically like pipe tar on the way down. It's not actually something that's been put in your mouth as it's gone through your blood. So it's not like bioavailable cannabinoids. It's just, as I say, like a residue. So anyone who eats, drinks, chews gum, uses mouthwash, you know, they're going to get a different result. They're going to be cleaning their mouth out compared to someone who didn't. And they could be higher, you know. Equally, if you eat capsules of cannabis, you know, cannabis that's inside a capsule, it won't actually touch your mouth and therefore you won't fail the test, which is just ludicrous. So these loopholes are known in Australia and yet they're still doing it here. So, yeah. It also, of course, encourages people to do things that don't linger. And that's something they also need to consider. Your old novel psychoactives that claim to be like cannabis but aren't, or, you know, other weird things. So many reasons to oppose it anyway. And one of the studies that I came up with, actually, or came across, was there's one that found actually the strongest correlation with impairment was just time-based. It was just time since last use. And that accounted for everyone's different tolerance and abilities and things like that. And basically, overall, 4 hours after last use and the impairing effects have worn off. And that was the same for novices or heavy regular users. So they actually recommended, this was an Australian study, they said that's actually a really simple education campaign that you can just get across to people. Don't drive for 4 hours after use. There you go, done.
Done. Well, gorgeous. Yeah. Thank you so much for calling in, Chris. It was lovely to meet you. And that was Marijuana Media. Thank you so much.
All right. Hey, one last thing before I go, though, is there is some good news.
Good news.
And that is the medical defence remains. A lot of people have asked me about that, and I forgot to mention it last week, or even almost this week. Section 64 of the Land Transport Act does say if you've got a valid prescription and you comply with your instructions, you've got a medical defence. So anyone with a medical cannabis prescription, if you're following what the doctor says and doing it under their supervision, you're not going to get pinged. However, it says it's a defence in court, which might mean you still end up there, but hopefully not. We're saying strengthen that and tell the police to not actually bring proceedings.
Yeah.
But anyway, the defence is there. So you've got until midnight tonight if you want to advocate for that. And then coming into the hemp store tomorrow, we've got the doctors 12 till 4:20 Friday and Saturday doing consulting and dispensing. So if you need to get that script, come on in and get one.
Yep, perfect. Well, thank you so much, Chris. Have a lovely rest of your week.
And you too. Cheers for you.
Awesome. That was Marijuana Media. Thank you so much to the hemp store. Thank you to Chris.
Do it, man.
That was Marijuana Media.
Thanks to the Hemp Store. Visit them at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz.